Last week, the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park launched a major new exhibit called Earthquake. It's got a walkthrough model of the Earth, an interactive space to teach earthquake preparedness, and even live ostriches. Apparently, there's a connection. There's also an earthquake simulator resembling an old Victorian home, bringing us right back to the big one in 1906. Very few people are alive today who witnessed that earthquake 106 years ago. But even if they are still here, they were often too young then or too old now to remember. But there are many recordings from the 1950s and 60s that still exist, and they've been collected by the Regional Oral History Office at UC Berkeley's Bancroft Library. Sam Redman, a newly minted PhD from the office, joined KALW's Stephen Short to talk about these stories preserved from one of the most significant events to touch our region. We'll kick off the conversation by hearing the voice of Kathleen Norris, who was 25 years old at the time of the Great Quake. Her voice was recorded half a century ago.
In the first place, most people have the feeling, especially when they've watched the movies about earthquakes, that things racket and roll as if you were crossing the channel on the 3rd of February. As a matter of fact, it's a rather quiet performance. There's a deep, earthy sound that's subterranean, very disturbing, but it's just a matter of a gentle clicking and clacking and rattling, but it's everywhere. Every picture on the wall is going tack, tack, tack.
That was Kathleen Norris talking about the 1906 earthquake. We'll hear about her soon, but did you notice the excellent sound quality here? Sam Redman, that interview was recorded in 1960, but it sounds as if it could have been recorded earlier today. We've all heard scratchy old recordings from the 60s and earlier, so why does this one sound so good?
This one is part of a recent effort to revisit some of our archives and digitize and bring into the 21st century some of our old recordings. And our office was founded in the 1950s, and since then, we've gone through, as you might imagine, all sorts of different iterations of recording technologies. So we have to revisit some of these archives and modernize them and make them available through modern technologies. And now to put them on the web, it's enormously powerful as a resource.
Well, the 1906 earthquake has been studied to death by now, hasn't it? I mean, what's the point of hearing these things?
So we have these documents that can tell us about how the city's changed in terms of old films and photographs and images and maps. But those things, they don't really tell us what it was like to experience on a first-hand account of what it was like to experience life during that time. It doesn't tell us about what the actual lived experience was for the people who went through the events in April 1906.
Well, somebody who does tell us about that is Kathleen Norris, so we should hear another clip from her. But first, I'd like to ask you a couple of things. First, who was she? And second, why does she sound like Queen Victoria?
That's a great question. Kathleen Norris was an author. She later becomes an author. And this interview was recorded shortly after our office was founded. This interview is recorded in 1960, but it's about her recollections of what life was like for her when she was a 25-year-old young woman living in Mill Valley in 1906. And you can hear in her voice and her tone, you mentioned, you asked why she sounds like Queen Victoria. Her mode of speaking, her tone, her pace, her inflections are all influenced by the people she's around. And she's the circles that her family was in, the networks that she was in, were high society circles in San Francisco. So you hear a tone and inflection. And that, to me, is why, again, we have this massive archive at the Regional Oral History Office. And many of these things have been transcribed. But hearing the actual voice is really powerful, and it helps us reach to the past in a way that I don't think reading on a transcript can quite capture in the same way.
But we all rushed out onto the porch, and we all looked at each other aghast, and we said, "What is this? It must be an earthquake." And, of course, the silence of the morning was so exquisite. It was April, and of course it was lilacs, and it was roses, and it was redwoods over there. Beautiful, glorious morning, just sunrise. And then we could hear the voices of other people who had run out of their houses. And you could hear up and down the roads, "Earthquake, it's an earthquake." oh, God help us, it's an earthquake.
What's interesting to me is that she articulates in her recollections her perceived realities and then also what it felt like. She says, I know that the earthquake only lasted a moment, but it felt like it lasted 5 minutes. And then she follows that up by saying, but of course, it changed our world forever. So these are sort of things that you can interview someone on the ground, but there's also a benefit to having that sort of length of time where people can reflect on the events that happened in their lives and think about it in sorts of different ways.
Well, you brought this other clip of her as she describes coming into San Francisco. So let's hear that.
And so we walked up Venice on this glorious, beautiful spring morning, and we saw our city die. It was something to see. The great, heavy, slow rolls of smoke that were joining hands as they went up, and the people, very cheerful, very philosophical. There was no screaming.
That was author Kathleen Norris remembering the 1906 earthquake and fire in a newly digitized copy of an interview in the holdings of the Regional Oral History Office at UC Berkeley's Bancroft Library. Sam Redmond of that office is with us today. I'm Stephen Short. Sam, as we said, there was a great period of time that passed between the actual quake and her recollection here, but I've heard more emotional accounts of somebody losing a pet.
It's an interesting interesting way to phrase it. I think one of the really important things of having these oral histories is that it does really add a human voice to the past. And a letter or a diary does a similar sort of thing that I think a photograph or a film might not accomplish. It might not really give us that human voice to upend some of our assumptions. I would think that that an account, a firsthand account of the San Francisco earthquake, might sound and feel a bit different than how Kathleen Norris remembers it. But that's why it's important to collect as many oral histories as we can and preserve these accounts for future generations of historians and then also students and members of the public to look at and re-examine and question some of their own assumptions.
Well, now, speaking of students and historians having access to this and being able to hear this firsthand material, that's going to be open access, I think, right?
That's right. And open access is something that's very important for our office, something we strive to accomplish. And previously, we've been able to make as many transcripts available as possible. But like we've talked about today, there's something in hearing the actual voice, the actual sound recording. And previously, these recordings would be available to students and researchers, but it meant coming onto campus and listening to them in our reading room, which is gorgeous and is a very inviting warm space, but it also means now when we can digitize and bring things to the web that we can open that up for historians and students who weren't previously able to come and listen to these. Now they can hear these voices that have previously been in our archive.